Okay, good morning, ladies. Welcome back to our Shema Selection class learning. It's been too long without this class, for me for sure. It's Rosh Chodesh Iyar, the second day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, which means it's the first of Iyar today. Iyar is Ani Hashem Rufa'acha, Aleph Yod Yod Hey, that Hashem is our healer. So halavai, we should be zochet to a healing for all the individual nisyonos and all of the national nisyonos that our people face. Tefillah al hadibur, please, an inside cover. Shem Shemaim, Amen v'Amen, Le'ilui Nishmas, and Le'zeicher Nishmas, Tzvi Gershom v'Nu Avachana, Alav Hashem, is Nisham Shehevan Ali, in the merit of our learning, and also as a continued Refu and Besuras Tovas, Bracha V'Gayabas, Rachel Geta. So we are on page, we haven't learned this class in a while, because, well, it was Pesach, first of all, but everyone had a meaningful Yom Tov, and because right before Pesach, which, 2 weeks before Pesach, Chavis Baruch Hashem made a simcha, so it was at my house. What we actually spoke about was related to the Haggadah. Went online if anybody had time to listen. So the actual Sefer, we, I think, have not learned for over a month or so. And we're also learning now on this week's parashas, our Tazria Metzora. So our first class back to our Shema Selection class learning are the parashas of Tzoras. And of course, there are seven reasons that Nega'im Ba'in. The Gemara says that there are seven different reasons that Nega'im Ba'in. I'll tell you all of them, actually, since I brought that up. Okay, so the Gemara says, Maseches Arachin Tes Vav. Tazayin, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nechaim. Okay, so the Gemara says that for seven reasons Nega'im, the plague of Tzoras comes. The first reason is Lashon Hara. Second reason is Shvichus Damim, Shvu Ashav, false oath, Gilu Arayos, Gasus Aruach, haughtiness, Gazel, theft, Tzarus Ayin, stingy eye. So the most, perhaps, well-known reason that Tzoras comes is because of Lashon Hara, and it's this week's parashas, as I mentioned. So let's just look at a couple of psukim, which is something that we've discussed before. When he is that tsarua asher bo hanega, the tsarua, the person who has tsaras, which is biblical leprosy, which is not an accurate translation at all. I define tsaras as a spiritual illness with a physical manifestation. Tsaras is a spiritual illness with a physical manifestation. Tsarua asher bo hanega. So, you know, if you just look at the spots itself as the illness, so that's looking at, I don't know, a cough is an illness without realizing that, you know, the person has bronchitis. Bronchitis is the illness. The cough is a manifestation of the illness. So you could say take Ricola. That's not really going to heal the bronchitis. I'm trying to think of an accurate medical example. Do you understand what I'm attempting to say here? So you have to understand the root. The root in this case is a spiritual illness. The person who has the affliction of Tzoras, his garment shall be torn. And we may or may not have spoken about this last year, but it's like he's sitting Shiva for himself. His teres kriya, his hair should grow unshorn. He covers his mouth with a mustache, indicative of the fact that he opened his mouth for a wicked speech. So it's almost like a gate is being put over his mouth. He calls out about himself, impure, impure. Imagine the shame. So you see the stages where he sits mourning, he tears his clothing, his hair has to go unshorn, he grows a mustache. If a person's mustache grows long enough, I assume that it will actually cover their lips. So it's like a gate closing his mouth. He wasn't able to close his mouth, so we close it for him, so to speak. And the same lips that brought pain and shame upon somebody else now bring shame and pain upon himself. All the days that the affliction is in him, he is impure. Tamehu, he is impure. Badad yeshev, he has to sit alone. He sits outside the camp. And Rashi says there, you know, the person with tzaras has to sit total in isolation. He can't sit with the other forms of people who are impure. Total badav. Why? Because he's separated with Lashon Hara, says Rashi. Bein ish le'ishto, between man and his wife. Ubein ish le'ehu, Avihu, and between man and his friend, Afu Yibado. So Dafka, he has to sit completely alone. He can't sit with the person who is a Zav, and he can't sit with any other forms of impurity, Tamei Meis, whatever it is. Why not? Because he himself caused separation. So you see, within the consequences of his illness, there's very, very much Mida Kamega, Mida, and every stage is a lesson to him. Your Lashon Hara killed other people. You committed shvichas damim. You saw that one of the reasons in the Gemara for in Arachin for negaim is shvichas damim. Killing somebody with words is a form of murder. So, did anyone read Mishpacha this week? The fictitious story that unfortunately could be true about the Rabbi who died later on, and two grown talmidim came to the kever. They met at the kever. The Rabbi was verbally abusive to the students. Did anyone see it? Okay. It relates to what I'm talking about, but if nobody saw, it's not shayach. With words, we can really bring murder upon somebody else. So because of the murder, he's an avelus for who? Himself. So he tears kriya, his hair goes long. He puts the gate over his lips with his mustache. He calls out about himself, I am impure. Brings shame upon himself. Sits alone because he caused a divide. He caused such a breach in Shalom. Therefore, he sits alone. And I was thinking to myself this morning that it's interesting that Dafka, the Kohen, is the one who spiritually brings about the habilitation or the rehabilitation of this person. Because the Kohen, we started Pirkei Avos this past Shabbos as we journey towards Har Sinai. The Kohen is a man of Shalom. Hevei mi talmid of Sha'arar. Ohev Shalom v'rodev Shalom. Ohev esabrius v'makarv on the Torah. The Kohen's goal is the antithesis of what the Mesaper Lashon Hara did. You caused a divide between people. The Kohen is the one who's supposed to bring people together. He loves peace. He pursues peace. He loves people. So Dafka, the Kohen, treats him, besides the fact that it's a spiritual illness, but the Kohen treats him because it's the job of the Kohen to instill Shalom, to bring people back to Shlemus. So if there's Shalom, it leads to Shlemus, and therefore this illness, so to speak, which is that is spiritual, is enhanced under the treatment of the Kohenim itself. So very, very sobering. Of course, today we don't have Tzaras, which is a benefit, but also not a benefit because we don't ponder the tremendous magnitude that our words can have because we don't see the manifestation. So you think, oh, it's not such a big deal. It's the same big deal. Today, we unfortunately don't see it. So let's go. We're on page 90. Any questions or comments on that? It's related to the parsha law? Yeah.
I feel like if it happened today, we'd all be constantly have tzaras.
You mean everybody would have tzaras today?
Right. I mean, I shouldn't say everybody.
I understand.
Right.
So many of us. So you're saying it's a chesed of Hashem that we don't have it?
No, I think if we would have had it, then we'd be more cognizant, and then we'd be, if every time you do a sin, you get punished, you're more likely not to do it again, because we don't realize that we're really, we're not getting punished right away.
You know what makes me think of? This is how my mind works. Now, my kids are like, Mommy, we can't say anything to you, but I'll tell you what makes me think of. It's a good comparison. Lahavdel. There is no consequence to terror, unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael. There's no consequence to terror. I go to jail for a few years. Sherry Mendel, whose son Kobe Mendel was stoned to death in a cave behind their home in Tekoa with his friend Yossi Ishran. They were 13 or 14 years old. Hashem Yukam Damo. When at the last prisoner exchange, she demonstrated outside the Prime Minister's residence with a sign that said, I'm glad my son's killers were never found. Because what happens is they go to jail. They get an education, they have conjugal visits, their families get paid very handsomely. Nikki Haley finally announced that the U.S. is going to stop funding terrorism. They get paid very handsomely and then they get out. So that's what I thought of when you said that. Mm-hmm. And it's a stark example. We don't consider the impact and the power outside of our words because we don't see a consequence. So it's incentive to stop. It's very hard for us to envision the Olam HaEmes as much as we strive to. Someone just said to me last week, she learns with a group of people in a different community who are not from. And one woman is like very, she asks a lot of, I don't want to say lahachis, but questions. So one of the things challenging questions. One of the questions she asks is doubtful, skeptical, challenging questions. She once asked me a different question that I was able to answer. So she asked me, what is it like this one wants to know in the next world? What exactly is it like? What exactly happens? No, she didn't want to know about Schar Notice. She didn't want to know about Beast. And she didn't want to know about Final Judgment. She wanted to know what exactly happens in the Shema. So I said, I can't answer you. She says, I'm asking so many people, like this, Rav, that, Tom. So I said, listen, I can't answer you. I don't know exactly. So that's Rachman and son, the terrorists don't see a consequence. What's the consequence? They destroy maybe the first floor of their home. Okay. So everyone's alive, everyone saw they get paid, so they killed a Jew. So you know, Lahavdil, Lahavdil, Rachman and son, we could also kill with our words. You didn't see the article of Mishpacha, but that's what it was about. So we don't contemplate it because we don't see consequences. Good point, Alyssa. Very important. Okay, what I want to do is we're really in the last paragraph of page 90, but because we actually haven't learned inside the Sefer since like 3 weeks before Pesach, I'm not going to say the same insights I said on the first paragraph, but I just want to start from the top of the paragraph. Right, so we'll go through that first paragraph quickly, bli neder. Parag Zayin, b'chiyuv kabbalat ol ha-mitzvos, it is the chiyuv of accepting the ol mitzvos, ha-tliyos b'dibur v'machshava, that are dependent on dibur, speech, and machshava, thought. Charlie Harari, I read, he said something very good, because here he speaks about machshava. The Chavetz Chaim is going to speak about machshava in this section as well. We tend to think if we're speaking badly, so it's just speech. It's really the root of thought. The negative thought leads to the machshava, leads to dibur. So Charlie Harari wrote something very good. If you have a negative thought and you want to change negative thoughts, it's not really the thought that needs to be changed, it's your focus that needs to be changed. If you change your focus and make it positive, your thoughts will naturally follow. It's very true, and it applies strongly to Lashon Hara as well. You want to say something negative about something else, something poison, something murder, something bad. Really what you have to do is change your focus. Focus on the good, and your thoughts will follow. You understand? Misha eino shomer dibura matsui ma'od. Someone who does not guard his speech, who does not guard his thoughts, what will happen? Matsui ma'od. It will be found sh'avonasov mirubim mischuyosav, that his sins will be greater than his merits. Va'atar on now nisayim hakunchus b'masha pasachnu. But let's sum up with what we started. Hine anu amim b'chayim. We say every day. We quote of Sham Sharfal Hirsch on this. It was probably about 6 weeks ago. V'samtam estvayela olvavchem v'alnavchem. Says in Shema every day. The paragraph we refer to as Vahaya. You should put these words on your heart and on your soul. Shu Kabbalah's all mitzvos. That is being Kabbalah, the acceptance of the yoke of mitzvos. I don't know if anybody saw the hesped that Rabbi Levin gave for his son Yisrael last week in Eretz Yisrael. I watched the Levaya live stream, and he speaks about the importance of being Makabal al Machus Shamayim upon himself. He works very much after his son Ari was Nifter in January 2016. I don't know the date in the Hebrew calendar, but just over 2 years ago. So he works very much on focusing on Kabbalah. The boy's father said this, al Machus Shamayim, and accepting the yoke upon himself, Hashem is king. So what we really have to work on is the Kabbalah al Mitzvah, accepting that if Hashem is king, he gave us the mitzvah, so I have to accept that upon myself. Kamosh Amru Chazal, who call a call a mitzvah. And we shouldn't think that there are exceptions to the rule. If you're being makaba all mitzvahs and you're being makaba all the mitzvahs, it's a package deal here. Ben hadvarim hatulim b'masa, whether it's something that involves action, such as shaking lulav and esrog, ben hadvarim hatulim b'dibur, or whether it's actions, matters that are dependent upon speech. You made a bracha, you said harol this morning, you complimented somebody else, who been environment to him, but machshava, and matters that are dependent upon thought, kamosha kasav apashas and savim, ki karav elach adarim abficha ubavavcha la asoso. Here you have all the components. Beficha, dibur, levavcha is machshava, and la asos is the action. You see that? Maisa. Yeah, you understand? This pasuk from Devarim that the Chavetz Chaim quotes says, Ki karva lecha davarma. Torah is very close to you. Mitzvah should be very close to you. On three different levels. Beficha, whether it's in regard to dibur. Bilvavcha represents machshava. Thought. La asoso is the action, the maisa. Hine adam basher hu miruga ledaber v'lachshav kol masha ola rucha. And behold, when man becomes accustomed, interesting that the word he uses, mirugal, which brings to mind what? The meraglim, okay? Ledaber, when you become so accustomed to speaking and to thinking, call masha ala al rucha, anything that comes to mind. You know, that we talk about people who don't think before they speak. You're accustomed to acting a certain way, whether it's in speech or with thought. Medama b'nafsha sha kabbali hirak la'asos matcha tziva Hashem yisparach. So if you accustom yourself to saying, I could say whatever I want, I could think whatever I want, Kabbalah's all mitzvahs is only on action. You understand? V'shalol la'asos masha asra Torah. And there are asay and there's lo tasay. Aval amachshava v'dibur ein ma'alal dal tokol. But is God really in charge of my thoughts? But I really have to dedicate my speech to Hashem. This is the kind of person who says, I understand my action has to be klapei mala. So I have to be mafresh challah when I bake challah. But as I take the challah and I make a bracha, I have to shake lulav and esrog. I have to eat shmur matzah at the seder. Why? Because that's a maisa. But machshava and dibur, that's not included in Kabbalah's all mitzvos. That's not Kabbalah's all machushmaim. But MS, of course we know. Lo kein hu. That's not the case. Hashem's in charge of everything. Everything. And everything has to be dedicated to Ribbono Shel Olam. Ki kolalas kol ha-mitzvos ha-ksuvos v'torah. Because Kabbalah's all mitzvos and Kabbalah's all machushmaim includes all the mitzvos that are written in the Torah. So one thing I tried a couple of times over Yantif, I really do miss this class very, very much when we don't learn. Personally, it helps. I hope the people who listen as well. Me a lot. Am I a Vodas Hashem? It's very, very important. Class, the speech is something that we're using all day, all the time, whether it's verbal speech or a typed speech or a written word, something that we're using all the time. But one thing I was able to apply a couple of times over Yantif, which Alyssa and I have discussed before, and Alyssa reminded me of recently, is that when you're insulted, to hold your tongue. And the Gemara says, Tola Eretz al Belima, which means it's a pasuk from Tehillim. Hashem suspends the world on nothingness. The world is in the middle of the universe. What's it held up on? Nothing. Think of our planet floating in the universe. Why doesn't it just blow away? Why doesn't it just sucked in by the orbit of the sun? I don't know. Think about it. It has a specific pattern. It stays here. There's stability. What's the world upheld on? Nothing. So the Gemara says, Tola Eretz al Blima. The world is upheld on Misha Bolim, on he who closes his mouth in the time of an argument. And this reminded me a couple of months ago, that if you're insulted and you don't say anything, it's an Eis Ratzon. But more than an Eis Ratzon for tefillah, you're almost holding up the world. Tola Eretz al Blima, al Misha Bolim is you are the person who, the Tola Eretz. The whole world is upheld because of he who holds back his tongue in the time of argument. So something I was able to apply two times that I could think of over Yantif, because of you and because of this class. So it should really be an aliyah for your father's neshama, really. Halavai, amen, because it's a tremendous galus. And the first thing I wanted to write back to one of the people is, you insulted me. And I didn't. I didn't say anything. I davened. And yesterday something else happened, and instead of saying anything, I daven. But Salvechik says that, I don't mean I took up a sitter, I mean in my head, I was talking to Hashem. The basic idea of the Keda is nurtured by the service awareness. I'm relating this to the last thought of the Chavetz Chaim in this paragraph, which I did not say last time, and that is that Hashem is in control of everything. We should not just think Hashem controls our maisa, like before I drink, I don't know, pour the water. Hashem doesn't just control my maisa, it's also my machshava, and it's also my dibra, my thought and my speech as well. The basic idea of the Keda is nurtured by the service awareness. What does the Keda Siyatzchak come to teach us? Man is a servant of God. He belongs completely to God, body and soul. Or you could say action and emotion. God owns human existence at every level. It's physical, spiritual, and social. Every movement of our muscles is related to God. That's the maisa. Every thought that flashes through our mind belongs to him. That's the machshava. Every feeling, every stirring of the soul, every joyful anticipation or sad expectation is not the property of man. Hashem is the master of the world, Ribbono Shel Olam, and master of man. And from time to time, Hashem calls upon man to return whatever is his. A man must give not a part of himself. I can't just give my maisa to Hashem, but his whole self. I also have to give not just my maisa, but I also have to give my mechshava, and I also have to give my dibur. He requires of man to return divine property to its rightful. And if I don't own any of myself, this piece by Rav Salvechik is very, very important and very impactful. If I don't own any of myself, I can't just do what I want with myself. I can't just do what I want with my thoughts and my speech because they don't belong to me. Somebody entrusted something to you. You have to watch it the way the owner wants it to be watched. Imagine someone gave you your shomer. Someone gives you something to watch, your shomer chinam. You're watching for free. Really, everything we have is a gift from Hashem for free. And they say, you know, one thing I request of you, return it to me, and this is not a halachic example, a hashkafic example, return it to me the way I gave it back to you. Right, but I'm lending it to you. It's very beautiful. It's very precious. It's very important. And you beat it up and you tear it up. And when they come back to take it, it's a krach and it's a hargan. It looks terrible. It looks like it's 1,000 years old. They gave it to you. But they say, what did you do? They say, oh, you gave it to me. He says, I didn't give it to you. I lent it to you. It's mine. It's not yours. I told you I'm coming back for it. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, so I gave you a pure neshama, okay, neshama shesat to be tohuri, and if I think that I am in charge, then I could do whatever I want, but I'm not in charge. Every sad expectation and joyful anticipation, every feeling and stirring of the soul is not the property of man. Every movement of our muscles, ma'isa, every thought that flashes through our mind, machshava. And Hashem requires a man to return divine property to its rightful owner. Total sacrifice, the idea of understanding that I do not belong to myself, but nevertheless I belong to Ribono Shel Olam. Every aspect of myself was decreed by Hashem when he summoned Avram to offer Yitzchak on Har HaMoriah. So besides the fact that we, the Akedah is the foreshadowing, says Rav Salav Ajik, of many sad situations within our history, many, many millions of Akedahs within our long, long history. It's been the foreshadowing of millions, millions of sacrifices, but on a metaphysical level, it's also a daily sacrifice, metaphysically. It's understanding that I don't own myself, so I can't treat myself however I want. I'm a Shubba to Ribono Shel Olam. That's lights.
Yeah, it's lightning.
It was lightning?
It hasn't come, but it's because of the rain. I had it in my house also.
Say it again.
It's from the rain.
There was lightning outside though?
It was one this morning.
Oh, I didn't see. I didn't see. Okay, I didn't see this morning either. But yeah. Alkane, sorry. Yeah, sorry. But Alkane, wait, any questions or comments?
There was Mr. Levin, also at the Vaya Adarche.
Yes.
Wrote down a similar idea when he was saying that when the Avikomen is taken.
Mm-hmm. Speak louder.
When the Avikomen is taken by the children. When they, you have to return it, he returns and then he expects a prize in return, but you only get the prize in return if you took care of the Afikoman, if you made sure that it was in the right, good condition and it didn't break and you know.
So it's a very similar idea. But Hashem expects it back, because really it's His. We're on loan.
Right.
But even, that's the ultimate, Rachman Alatzlan, returning to Ribono Shel Olam, which is Rav Salavitchik is speaking about, just in that situation where Yisrael Levin, Alav Hashem, was a reference to. But what we have to understand is that even when it's not at that level of the ultimate sacrifice, that every day we have to be cognizant that I don't belong to myself. And if I belong to Hashem, then I have to take care of every aspect, whether it's Dibur, Maisa, or Machshava, on the level that the Ribono Shel Olam gave it to us with. It's very hard. Very hard. That's an understatement. Wait, anything else? Alkein, Yesh Lizeher Be'esa Kabbalah, and therefore we have to be on guard at the time of being Kabbalah's Omach Hushamayim, Lachshav, to think, Shema Kabbalah Atzmal Kaim Kol Dibir Hashem Yisparach HaKsuv Matara. You have to think to yourself that I am now accepting upon myself to uphold all the words of the Holy One, Hashem Baspi, that is written in the Torah, Mimela, Beklauza, Kol HaLavin Vosin, and this includes all the Lavin, all the Los Asay, and all the Asay Hatluim Bechalek HaDibur, also those parts that are dependent upon the speech, Bahamachshava, Anta, Gamkein, also. So what he's trying to prove to us, or to reiterate, or to teach us, that when it comes to being an Evan Hashem, it's not just about Maisa. Too often we focus only on deeds, and it's true. You know what happens if we focus only on deeds? Rachman Atzan, it becomes an external Judaism. It's sad.
But sometimes, according to your actions, you know, it forms you. Like, if you just do things,
100%. 100%. The external influences the internal, and there's a reciprocal relationship as well. The internal also influences the external. 100%. If a person's in a place where they're striving and they're yearning and they're going through a hard time, as long as they stick to the action, the pneumius can come back. Yes, 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 absolutely. But we have to be striving to make sure that our internality matches up with our externality. The Gemara says, "Kol tamid chacham she'ein tochu kavaru ein tamid chacham." We learn that from the iron, which was coated with gold on the outside, mibayis mechutz tesapenu, with a wooden box. Why is any gold on the outside and on the inside? You don't even see the gold on the inside. When you look at the iron kodesh, not that anyone really saw the iron kodesh anyway, but when you look at the iron kodesh, all you saw was gold. So why do you need the gold on the inside? It doesn't even teach me. No one even sees the gold on the inside. Teaches you that your external has to be gold, but so does your internal. But yes, you're right. If a person is not in that place, then they have to at least make sure that the external matches up, but working towards having the internal match up. We don't want to stay out to Rashi b'fnei atzmecha. I shouldn't see my internal is rishus and external is good. Because if I'm not working on the machshava and the deeper, then I'm in a dangerous place. V'zeu shetziva Hashem yisparach sheikaba adam b'chol yom boker ve'arav. And this is what Hashem commanded. Man should accept upon himself. We say kriya shema shel shachris and kriya shema shel arvis. Kol yom boker, morning, arav, evening, alibo upon his herb, al nafsho, and upon his soul akayim. So when I thought, when I read this, one second please. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol kol nehi avedvaro.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. So when I was preparing and I read that, I thought of it reminded me of Korbanos. I don't know if anyone here says Korbanos or part of Korbanos. I have every other Monday morning class is a tefillah class. And I also heard a shir by Rav Sabalovsky, one of the Rabbi Yerusha Yeshivas, probably from last year, that women are, it was a very good shir. It was on the actual parts that women are mechuyev to say in davening. Right? Elisha Bishlam actually brought the shir to my attention, and it was only about a half hour shir, and I listened to it. It's on what women are mechuyev to say. So part of what women are mechuyev to say is korbanos. I'm not a posek. You could ask your own shayla. It's not something I was ever taught. In fact, I asked my daughter, I'm like, Tamara, did you ever learn about korbanos? She said, no. Could be for lack of time, whatever. So now I believe Nader say the korban tamid. Passage of korban tamid. Why do I say javka, this specific passage, korban tamid? Why did I choose this one? Because Risa Rotman, Chaim / Howie Rotman's wife, widow, he was the last of the Harnuf Kedoshim, somehow he came to be connected to her. And she emailed me a thought on the korban tamid, and she said she learned many years ago that if you're going to say one of the korbanos, what you should say is the korban tamid every day. So after she emailed me that, I shared it with the tefillah class group. Anyway, so now I say the korban tamid passage. Why am I telling you this whole history? Because one of the things we say in the korban tamid was the daily offering, the continuous offering that was brought every single day. Tamid in this case doesn't mean always, as in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It means consistent. Tamid means always, and tamid means consistent. It was consistently offered every day. So you first you say a little hirats, and then my dabar shem. Okay, 1 second. Amartam zeha isha. This is the fire offering. Asher takrivu laHashem when vayikra the karbanos. So you should offer to Hashem kvasim bnei shana tmimim shnayim layam ola tamid. You should bring these young lambs pure, two per day. It is a ola tamid. Is an ola offering that is consistent. As hakavas achad taaseh baboker. As hakavas hasheni taaseh bein haarbayim. So one lamb reshib you should bring in the morning. Kavas achad taaseh baboker. As hakavas hasheni taaseh bein haarbayim. Right. Rav Elimelech Birman brings down a chassidish var on this. Kavas is also the root word of kovesh. We'll be up to Perek Dalet Shabbos afternoon. Ezu Gibor, who is a mighty warrior, HaKovesh HaSiyatzro, who conquers his inclination. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu brings down a chassidish shtarvot. As HaKavas Echad Ta'asa Baboker, you should conquer your inclination in the morning when you start your day and you're tired and it's raining and there's nothing for lunch, your kids think, because it's hard to get back into the routine after Pesach and keep the house with everything exactly that we need and you're tired, etc. So tired. So what should you do? As hakeves achad, says Rabbi Mintasev aboker, you should make yourself into the korban. We just spoke about that keda, being aware that everything belongs, my entirety belongs to Rabbi Shalom. Conquer your inclination in the morning. Ezu gibra kovesh es yitzro. And when you come home at the end of a long day and the kids are home from school and you're home from work and there's errands and you're tired and X, Y, and Z, it's a hard time also. And you might be short on patience. As a kevas hasheni tasa ben harbaim, your avodah is not done. When it comes to the afternoon, once again, what do you have to do? Be kovesh yourself once again. You have to conquer yourself once again. So in addition to the fact that women are mechuyev on some level to say korbanos, and Risa Rahman emailed me that this is what she learned many years ago, is what women are supposed to say, if you're not saying the whole passage of korbanos. It's not so long, by the way, to add to your davening. Right. The korban tamid is not so long, but it also has a tremendous hashkafic implications as well. Besides the fact that it's like you're being makriv the karban in the Beis HaMikdash, it's a beautiful thought to keep in mind that I have to be kovish meitzer in the morning, and then once again, kovish in the afternoon. V'zeu shatziva Hashem Yisparach, sheyikabel ha'adam b'chol yom boker ve'erev al libo v'al nafsho l'kayim. Only if you're kovish, you're yetzer, can you be makabel o malchus shamayim. You have to conquer your negativity within to see the good. One of the causes of Lashon Hara, Rebbe Chaim Kohen Lemaire, is Ayin Ra'a. And it relates to what Charlie Harari said. Your thoughts are negative because your focus is negative.
Ayin Ra'a was a stingy eye, is that what you said?
Say it again, please.
You said that Ayin Ra'a is a...
Oh, sorry, Tsarus Ha'ayin, which means like a stingy eye, which really is like having an Ayin Ra'a against other people. So it's think about it. That's why Lashon Hara comes, right? If I have negativity stemming from my eye, so to speak, my focus is wrong. And if my focus is wrong, my thoughts are wrong. If my thoughts are wrong, my speech is wrong. So I have to be kovish myself, not only in the morning, not only in the evening, twice a day. But I'm a kabbal on machushmai. One more paragraph. Uba emes mikro mefarshu b'parshas hazinu, and the truth is that this is explained clearly in parshas hazinu. Simu levavchem lechol advar mesher titzavum espanechem lishmar v'la'asos is called v'yatarzos k'lal davar reku mekem kiu chayechem. You should pay attention with your hearts to all of these matters. You should command your children to guard, to do all the words of Torah. It's not an empty thing. It is your very life. When we teach our children, we have to teach them all aspects of Torah. Midos Tovos, we have to teach them. We have to teach them how to be a mensch. We have to teach them how to speak properly. We don't need to just teach them the action. We need to teach them. Lomod ulamed lishmar v'la'asos. We have to teach them how to be a mensch, how to speak properly, how to dedicate your thoughts to your Ribbono Shel Olam. Dahainu afalavim va'asin. You know, it's so interesting. Last week I was in a certain situation. I was supposed to be somewhere for X amount of time, and I ended up being somewhere for longer than that. And the kids said, how'd it go? I said, it was there for so long. It threw my whole day off track. So one of the boys, the young one, said to me, Mommy, that's a chesed. Every minute that you were there extra is an extra chesed. It's extra. I said, you're right. I said, you know, you gave me mussar. I said, you're right. That's how you have to look at it. You have to teach your children. So Yitzavu Espanim Lishmar Kol HaTorah. Da'ayinu Afalavim V'asun Shetluim B'Kol HaDibar V'HaMachshava. Not just the mice that we have to teach our children, which we do, but we also have to teach them how to think like an Avod Hashem and how to speak like an Avod Hashem. And how many times do we have to remind ourselves this in Kriya Shema? Twice. Should we just do these next one short paragraph? Okay. V'hayetzer hara osa adam anaf. Look at, this is very interesting. Yetzer hara is so crafty. He has such a way of getting to you. He makes you into a humble person. What does that mean? V'choshev shizdeh shayich rachel anashim gedolim b'torah. The Yetzer hara tells you, it's not for people on your level to work on this. You're just a pasha yid. This is for the gedolim to work on. You just have to worry about your mice. The gedolim could work on controlling their thoughts and controlling their speech. As long as your mice is okay, you're okay. The Yetzer Hara tells you, you're an anav. You're not so great in Torah. So it's not for you. Aval lo lo, shehu ish pashu. This is not for you. You're a simple man. You're a pashu yid. A pashu yid doesn't have to worry so much about all these inyanim. It's too much for you. You're not smart enough. So look at the tactic of the Yetzer Hara. Sometimes he tells you to be a Baal Gaiva when you do something good. Sometimes he tells you to be an Arav when he wants you to. He'll take up any tactic of war to get you to fail. It doesn't matter. He changes his stripes all the time. That's not true. Doesn't every single person, no matter their intellectual level, no matter their chachma, no matter their social level, no matter their economic level, doesn't everyone want life? I'm reading a book. It's called A Boy Called 88618. I wasn't there. I have a class Wednesday nights, but I saw last week advertised the Yom HaShoah commemoration that was taking place in Beth Shalom, and it said that the speaker was Israel Stark. So I Googled the name Israel Stark, and he has a book. He's a Holocaust survivor, and he has a book. So by Feldheim. I believe it's a boy called, and then it's his number. I think it's 88618, Stark, S-T-A-R-C-K. So he was from Hungary. So when they arrived in Auschwitz, one of the, it was either the capos or the Jewish guards, he said, you know, what are we doing here? He was really confused. He didn't know what was going on. He said, now you're going to get a uniform, and then you're just going to learn how to fight to survive. He was 14 years old, and it was a kind capo who said to him, you're 18. It was right when he got off the train. So he said, if I tell you I'm 14, why are you saying I'm 18? It was Auschwitz. So the guard said, in this place, you don't ask questions. If I tell you you're 18 and you can work, then you're 18 and you can work. And when he got up to the line, he didn't understand. He says he doesn't know where it came from. But when they said to him, can you work? They were sending people to right and left. He was trying to figure out what's between right and left. And he right away, he stood up and he said, I'm 18 and I can work. But the point was that he was told, here, you're going to learn how to fight to survive. Everybody wants life, no matter who you are. Rahman, so we should never be, never know on any of Knesset's own such a situation. But no matter who you are, you want life. So don't make yourself into such an anaf. It doesn't matter if you're not a Talmud Chacham, or you're not a God Odor, you're not a Rav. It doesn't matter who you are. Don't you want life? So what's life? Life is Torah, not just Maisa. Life is Machshava. Life is Dibur. Life, says Rav Salvechik, man is not his own. Every thought that flashes through our mind is the property of its rightful owner. Everyone is life. So therefore, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, we should not be so humble. The Pasuk says in the last expression, Shmini, and then I'm going to go to the Halacha. The Pasuk says in Shmini, it's so nice to be back this class. We all need a purification. That's what we're learning. Every day, b'chayim, b'okar, b'okar, b'okar. It's a very profound teaching of Elimelech Biram. It's a chizir sidishvar. So when Aaron was being inaugurated into the kahuna on the eighth day, v'ayi b'yom shmini, was in the last six parashas, he was being inaugurated into the kahuna. So Moshe says to him, it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Mishkan is being put up. So Moshe says, krav al ha-mizbeach, come close to mizbeach, v'asa escha ta'ascha, do your chatos offering and your ola offering and have kapara for you and for the people, etc. So why does Moshe say, excuse me, krav al ha-mizbeach, come close? Moshe could just say, do your chatas and do your ola. What does he say? Come close. So Rashi says, Shahaya Aaron Bosh. Aaron was embarrassed. V'yare l'gashas. He was afraid to come close. Amar la Moshe, lama ata bosh l'kach nivcharta. Moshe said to him, why are you ashamed? For this you have been chosen. So Rashi, of course, can be understood at many different levels. But one thing that I personally understand from this Rashi is that when it comes to Avodas Hashem, there's no room for excess humility where we negate our kochos. Moshe was saying to Aaron, the kach nivcharta, you've been chosen, this is your tafkid. This isn't about Baal Gaiva Aaron or Baal Anivasar. This is about recognizing the Shem is a tafkid for you. You have to do it. Krav Mizbech. This isn't the time for busha. Just come and recognize you're an Eved Hashem. So that's the same thing that we're learning here. The Yetzirah wants to say, oh, you're such an Anav. But you know something? You can't be such a Baal Gaiva because you can't serve Hashem. But you know, if you're such an Anav, you also can't serve Hashem because you negate your own abilities. And if you say, oh, he's so smart, he could work on Mechshava. He's so refined, he could work on deeper. Me, all I could do is eat matzah and shake lulav and esrog. So the Chavetz Chaim says, that's not true. If you are life, if you're in this world, so the secret to life is not only maisa, it's deeper and machshava as well. So Be'ezus Hashem Halavai, we should remember all these things. Okay, any questions or comments, ladies? Nothing? Alyssa? At least you were saying something this class besides me. Nothing? Pardon? Yeah. Oh, haha. I didn't tell it to you. Okay. Serious threats. The Torah commands us, we're coming up to Rim Vayikra, we're coming up to Parshas Kedoshim. This is Achimos Kedoshim, we're almost there. The Torah commands us, Lo ta'amod al dam re'acha, you should not stand by over the blood of your friend. But I just want to, before I even go further, when I translate this pasuk, it's really a play on words. Lo ta'amod al dam re'acha, we just had a parasha shmini, vayudom Aaron, Aaron was silent. Dom is also blood, but it's also silent. So lo ta'amod al dam re'acha, I like to translate it as, don't stand by silently while your brother's blood is being shed. It's a double meaning. And that's very impactful in regard to Shmiras HaLashon. Because if you see somebody else, or if you hear somebody else, verbally speaking negatively to or about someone else, and you stand by silently, and in essence you're standing by silently while your brother's blood is being shed. So it doesn't just have to be if a person is having a heart attack on the sidewalk and you don't call it salah, so then you know lamaisa, so you're a fa'lo tam al adam re'echa, you're silent while your brother's blood is being shed. But another way to shed blood is by lashon hara. We saw that the Gemara says in Arachin, one of the reasons Nagayim Bani is al shvichus damim. Shvichus damim does not need to be little shvichus damim. You could kill a person with literally, kill a person's soul, very selfhood with speech. So just a little play on words. Don't stand by in silence while your brother's blood is being shed. We are obligated to spare no effort in preventing our fellow Jew from suffering physical, emotional, or monetary damage. In a situation where a potential victim, is unaware that he is being threatened, so in other words, someone's being threatened, you know about it, he doesn't know, one is required to warn him, even though it will reflect negatively on the person or persons responsible. So if someone's in a situation where threat or harm is about to come to them, they don't know, you must tell them, even though technically in another situation that would be considered lashon hara. Speech of this sort is not merely permissible, it is rather an obligation. You must, if physical, emotional, or monetary damage is going to result to the unsuspecting victim, it is an obligation to warn him. Nevertheless, one must be certain the conditions which render speech constructive have been appropriately met. So you remember that we quoted Rabbi Weitz. It can't be hearsay. Remember Rabbi Weitz said, not something that someone told you, that someone told them, that someone told them. You know the facts. It can't be an exaggeration. It has to know firsthand that this happened and try to make sure that the person won't be harmed more than possible. So you need to say what you need to say to make sure. It's okay, listen, obviously in such a situation, chas v'shalom, you might need to seek rabbinic counsel. If you're really at the point where serious harm is going to be coming to somebody else, then you need to be very careful. Unlike other cases of constructive purpose, protecting someone from possible harm is permissible, interestingly, even when no first-hand information is available. Okay, if one happens to hear one Jew is plotting to harm another, it is permissible to advise the potential victim to beware of the suspected plotter. I really think in these cases, you do need to ask a shayla. It's very hard for us to judge exactly what the matzav here is. In such a case where suspicions are based on hearsay, the information must not be presented as fact. So there was a blue jay.
Oh, yeah.
You have blue jays who live back here? When I grew up in Toronto, we lived near a ravine. And, this week's parasha, the Metzora, when he's healed, shechts one bird and sends another bird out over the open field. We live near a ravine, and we had all kinds of birds, including blue jays, but you don't see them here so much.
It went by so fast.
It was blue, though.
Yeah.
1 second. I have cardinals. You see a lot of cardinals in New York. It's very unusual to see blue jays here.
Yeah, blue jays, cardinals, and a woodpecker.
Yeah. Ooh.
And he pecks at my house all the time.
Wow. Oh, he's in the tree right here. And he's big. He's gorgeous.
I love
it. Wow.
He is big.
Okay. You can't see him now. Where suspicions are based on hearsay, the information, must not be presented as fact. Okay, so you have to be very careful. It should be clearly stated that the concern stems from unconfirmed secondhand information that may have been arbitrary. So I don't understand why you're allowed to say this, personally, without asking a shayla. You have to clearly state this is secondhand, unconfirmed information that may or may not be true. I'm saying that's being makabel got. I don't understand. And furthermore, if you're in a situation where potential harm is really going to come to another person, then you really do need to ask Shai. But I do not understand. Because doesn't that contrary everything we're saying? Not to be makab lashonara. Rabbi White said, it can't be here. So you have to know the information firsthand. The facts should not be exaggerated. Make sure undue harm will not come to the party. But here, you're mamish passing along what seems to be gossip. I don't know. I'm saying, I don't know, ask a shy. The Chofetz Chaim maintains, although one who fails to warn his fellow Jew of impending damages in violation of do not stand idly by, this does not apply when one is unable to personally verify the danger does indeed exist. Nevertheless, it's proper to convey secondhand information if this might spare someone harm. I'm not sure I understand. We have to be very careful to ensure that harm, either monetary, social, or emotional, does not come to our fellow Jew. So if you know the information firsthand, you're not advised, but you're obligated to tell. If you don't know, it seems to be very, even on that page itself, contradictory information. You should certainly ask the Shaila about the best way to proceed to protect that person. So Ezus Hashem, Shomer Piv Ulashono, Shomer Mitza'aras Nafsho. Should we say okay to continued koach and chizuk in this very holy avoda? Any questions or comments? Should we achodesh tov, abesuras tovos, nechamos, yeshuos, and refuos for all of Kali Yisrael halavai, amen, v'amen.